Hi, you're listening to The Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the year. Now, there are some things that I can only enjoy once. But Revelation is not one of them. Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Revelation, and there's so much imagery and history and metaphors and future, past, and present all in the same time, and it's also the end of our story. So our scripture lesson today is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Let us stand together and read this beautiful, beautiful verse of our Christian tradition. Let us read together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. There are some things that I can only enjoy once, like a mediocre football game, the Da Vinci Code, if that is your favorite book of all time, my sincere apologies. An easy puzzle. You know, I can only do these things once because the one thing that's going for some of these things is an unknown ending. You know, once you put together an easy puzzle, it's kind of done. Once you read a book that's kind of, you might not read it again because you know what happens in the end. Now, there's some things that even though I'm well aware of exactly what's going to happen, I can enjoy over and over and over again. I know what will happen when the sun sets, but I'll never get tired of watching it. Casablanca, this is the start of a beautiful friendship. I know how that movie ends, but I will never get tired of watching it. I know all the verses to Silent Night, but that doesn't mean I ever get tired of singing it on Christmas Eve. Some things are more important than just an unresolved ending. Just because you know how Silent Night ends doesn't mean you can exhaust its beauty. Revelation is very much the same way. Revelation gives us the end of the story. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. We have the ending of our story, but being in relationship with God is so much more than just knowing how it ends. Or at least I hope that once you do a Bible study and you get to Revelation, you're like, okay, that was a good read. And like you never pick it up again. One of the really cool things about Revelation is how it treats time. Now, I'm a huge fan of thinking about time. I mean, all this Doctor Who nonsense. I'm glad you're all sitting down to know that I'm fascinated with time. The 50th anniversary of Doctor Who was on yesterday. It was a special broadcast to like 80 countries around the world all at the same time. And that darn LSU football game was like halfway through it, so we TiVo'd. It was a mess. Anyway, Revelation is fascinating in the way that it treats time. Revelation, there are kind of two camps of how to understand Revelation, and you should always be suspicious when only gives you two options. Yes or no, black or white, this or that. Always be suspicious when life hands you two options, okay? But at face value, there are kind of two ways to read. There's one camp over here that understands that Revelation was written 2,000 or so years ago, and it was written to a suffering community, a community that hope. I mean, this camp, it's interesting. In the very first verse of Revelation, it says, these things will soon come to pass. I don't know how else to dissect the word soon. Okay, so there's this camp that Revelation was written back then for a suffering community. Then there's this other camp that's over here and says, but the imagery of how the end happens and the powerful words that it says, this will come to pass. There's a group that sees it as something that it tells the future out some way, maybe today. Maybe a seven-headed dragon with 10 horns will come out of Lake Pontchartrain today. My suggestion is run. Run fast. Run away. So there's this camp that sees it only in its extreme, only something that happens in the future, that it doesn't necessarily pertain to today. And that this group also has an interesting point. Like this group says, they read the first verse and say, well, it says it will soon come to pass. How do you read the word soon? Well, this group over here says, yes, but it's a book of hope. It's written to this suffering community that we are Christians here in this world, but we also have one foot in the next. And it's a story about how love wins in the end. God wins in the end. Now, as a good United Methodist, I like to take this side and this side and put them together here in the middle to think about what Revelation tells us about that suffering community, the past, what Revelation can tell us about the future, and maybe Revelation has something to do with today in the present. The past is a memory, and the future is still a dream. The only bit of time that we recognize is the present. And it just passed, like right now, which was just then. Like the present, it's weird, it's strange. The only bit of time that we recognize is right now. But the minute we start recognizing it, it's now gone. Yeah. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker. It's called the present because it's a gift. Now is a gift. We worship a God of the eternal now. God is always present. And Scripture gives us a clue. So with Revelation, it begins by saying this: grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And notice the order there. Grace and peace to you from a God who is. I love when Scripture is written in the present tense, because that means whenever you read it, today, tomorrow, 100 years from now, it will always be a present reality. For example, Luke chapter 2, and just act surprised when you hear this on Christmas Eve. Luke chapter 2, it's our Christmas story, right? Luke chapter 2, most of it is told in past tense. In those days, there were shepherds in the field. They traveled to... But then you get to the angel's proclamation. And the angels speak to the shepherds and they say, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news. Not, I brought you good news yesterday. I am bringing you good news of great joy, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah. Do you hear how all the language is so very present? Born to you this day is the Savior. The angel's proclamation, whether you read it today when you get home, or whether you read it on Christmas Eve or 100 years from now, it will always be a present reality. See, I am bringing you good news. I love how the language says that. That means that it will always be true. It will always be now. See, I am bringing you good news. Not only is our God a God of the present, God is also a God of the past. As we heard in the children's moment, it's really important that God is a God of our past, not just because of the tradition and knowing the history. God is, see, what is it? Grace to you in the name of the God who is and who was. God is a God of was. And the good news of that is God can redeem the past. Thank God, God is a God of today and yesterday. Because when we go to God in prayer for the ways in which we have broken relationship, for the ways that we have sinned, to the ways that we have missed the mark, thank God, God is a God of the past. Because God, when we go to God in confession, what we are asking God to do is to go into our past and redeem it. God is a God of today, and God is the Lord of our past as well. There is nothing back there that is not redeemable. And it's because God is also the God of the past. Paul says something interesting in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians is a great book. We'll do a carafe on that. It's just a really, really great book for understanding what it means to be a Christian. He says this: now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you. Now, let me back up. Pay attention to the tense. I have a little English lesson here this morning. Pay attention to the tense of how Paul is talking. What's in the present? What's in the past? What's in the future? Yeah? Okay? Good. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which in turn you received, in which you also stand, through which you are also being saved. Paul would be a wonderful Methodist. Salvation is a process. It's a process. He didn't say, thanks God to those of you who are saved. Those of you who are being saved. Each and every morning. Salvation is a process and it begins today. Salvation begins today. It's in the present tense. That's my, how the world would be different if Christians every morning would wake up and say, salvation begins today. So that it's always a present reality, and it's something we're always walking through by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be Methodist about it, it's called sanctifying grace. It is that power of the Holy Spirit that is working with us each and every day. To one day, you get to Thanksgiving and you say, why is so-and-so not here? Or why do we only invite to the table people we really, really like? Church is one of those places where we practice out our faith so that one day, that's what I love about the open table. There are no stipulations. If you're in need of grace, you're invited to come. And I love that when I showed up at the well, you already started doing communion every week. So, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because the more and more times, the more and more you celebrate an open table, your table at home becomes more open and open of hospitality, of strangers. Imagine having like a real Thanksgiving meal where two people on divided sides come together for a meal. Salvation is a process. My, what the world would look like if every morning we woke up and said, salvation begins today. God is the God of the present and the God of the past. Grace to you who is, who was, and who is to come. Who is to come, which means God is continually working on us each and every day. To say that God is means that we are never abandoned, ever. God is, and God is with us. To say that God is a God who was means that forgiveness is possible. A God who is to come means that God can be trusted. Last year, you know, talk about salvation being a process. So is parenthood. Parenthood, it's just a work in progress, man. Last year, we were double booked for Thanksgiving programs at two different schools. Isabel had a program at 10:30. Annalie also had a program at 10:30. I wish, there should be, like, a global teacher summit. And they all say, okay, I'll do the 4-year-old program at 10:30 if you could do the 5-year-old program at 10:45, and, you know, we can stagger this. Anyway, so I told Isabel, one thing you need to know about Isabel is that she is super concerned about the schedule. If you say you are going to the park at 3:30 after school, you better go to the park at 3:30 after school. Because she has this, like, she doesn't have a watch. She has this, like, internal clock where she's like, Dad, shouldn't supper be ready? Like, it's, you know, it's time. So, and I knew this going in, so we're double booked for Thanksgiving. And I think, oh, great, Isabel's going to freak out. So I sat Isabel down. I said, all right, Izzy, we're first going to go to Annalie's program at 10:30. Now, I know parents are showing up at your school at 10:30. I will meet you at 11 on the playground. Okay, yes, Daddy. And at that time, she didn't have two front teeth. Yes, Dad. 11 o'clock, right? I'm going to meet you on the playground at 11. I'm not going to be there at 10:30. So I get to the school, about 5 to 11. And at least three of the administrators came up to me, and they said something like this. Oh, I know a little girl who is going to be very excited to see her dad. Which is teacher code language for, you should have prepared your daughter for you not showing up at 10:30. That's what that means. So I've been in the biz long enough to know that the really good teachers make it sound beautiful. But What they're actually like scolding you in disguise. You know, I know a little girl who's going to be so very excited to see her father. So I get there, and here's Isabel being consoled by her teacher. Tears running down her face. Her ponytail is off-center and unraveled. And I say, Izzy, I told you I was going to be here at 11 o'clock. What time is it? It's 11. I said, yeah, I'm here. A God of the future, a God who is to come, is a God who can be trusted to keep God's promise. God is a God who can keep God's promise. I told you I was going to be here. It's okay. So what is that promise? This is what John says later in the first chapter. He says, to him who... Oh, pay attention to the tense. This is great, right? To him who loves us, who freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving God. Do you see how all of time is in that one verse? I'll read it again. To him who loves us, that's the present, who freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving God. God loves us, God has forgiven us, and God has given us purpose for the future beginning today as servants of God and servants of each other. Through faith in Christ, our present, our past, and our future are all held together in grace. So the verse that we read today, this is the end of the story. I'm going to read it to you now. And I want this to be your prayer today. It's absolutely beautiful. This is what John of Patmos wrote. That's who wrote Revelation, John of Patmos in Greece. This is what he says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for those first things have passed away. So now you know the ending of the story. I hope it doesn't ruin it for you. Rather, I pray it gives you hope. Soon, starting next Sunday, we get to tell the story all over again, where we gather in this place and we sing together, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. Where we sit together in yearning with the past of the Israelites who were longing for a Savior in the present, but also together hoping for God's kingdom to be here on earth. Salvation is a process. And what a blessing it is to start that process again, anew, next week as we gather. Salvation begins today. In the name of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.